Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, October the 8th. And while you can't tell from the weather over the weekend, or even today for that matter, fall is upon us, and before too long, the winter holidays will be here. And when I think of fall and Thanksgiving and even Christmas, I think of pies. Apple pies, pumpkin pies, pecan pies. I'm not much good at making them, but that could change after reading the book, Sweetie Pies. We are happy to have with us the author of the book, Sweetie Pies, this hour, Patty Pinner, who will not only talk about her recipe for apple pie, but about the stories behind many other pies in this book and the women who bake them. And we will ask you, too, to participate. What's your favorite pie? Maybe it's a pie your grandmother used to make. What made it so special? Or maybe you're a pie baker yourself. Why do you go through the effort when you can just buy one from the local bakery? What makes a homemade pie so special? And do you still go through that effort? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. Patty Pinner is an employee of the U.S. Postal Service, and she used to work at her family's restaurant in Saginaw, Michigan, in her spare time. She is the author of the acclaimed book, Sweets, a collection of soul food desserts and memories, and the new book, Sweetie Pies, an uncommon collection of womanish observations with pie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, this book is part cookbook and part memoir, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's got about 70 pie recipes, and with each of the recipes, there's a little header about the woman whose recipe it came from.
Yeah, and little tidbits of wisdom from these women who all are a part of your life.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And especially Mom?
Especially my mother. My mother was my greatest influence when it came to cooking and collecting the stories behind the recipes. In our family, you know, there was always a recipe and a story to go along with the recipe.
Mm-hmm. And you made your first pie when you were three.
Yeah, I loved making mud pies when I was a little girl and loved doing it. And my mother had rose bushes in the back and I decorated the tops with, you know, petals from her roses, and that was my first attempt at pie baking.
When was your first, edible pie attempt?
Well, if my memory serves me correct, when I was a teenager, I think I probably was about 16 or so, and I made an apple pie, my first apple pie that I recall.
Oh, you did? Apple pie was the first pie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
And you, I believe it was you who included the apple pie in the book. And it was was it the Pink Lady apple pie?
No, not the Pink Lady apple pie. Just my grandmother's recipe for apple pie. I thought she made the best apple pies, and so it was that recipe.
Mm-hmm. So, what made it the best apple pie?
Well, just flavor, I guess, and it was my grandmother's recipe. I don't know. My grandmother had the patience of Job when it came to weaving the lattice tops on her pies,
mm-hmm.
and they were, I thought, as beautifully crafted as they were delicious, and I think that has a lot to do with taste.
Yeah, and I guess I just was under the impression that the Pink Lady was yours, but what kind of apple did you use or do you use in your apple pies?
Well, normally, I believe most people, you know, say this isn't the greatest apple to use in a pie, but I like Golden Delicious.
Well, I got plenty of those when I went apple picking this weekend. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's my favorite pie. Now, I'm sorry, my favorite apple to use now, the Pink Lady. A pie. I say that in the book. I tell how my grandmother used to. I say that men expect women to be particular, and as women, we shouldn't disappoint them. And you know, she was always asking for the higher standard in something. And once a friend asked me to bake a pie. And so I said, sure, you know, on your way over, if you'll pick up a bag of Pink Lady apples, you know, that was setting a higher standard, I thought.
Yeah.
And, so that's where that recipe comes from.
So that was you asked the friend who wanted the pie to bring the Pink Ladies
gentleman
over.
Gentleman friend, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, you mentioned in the introduction in the book, too, that you kind of, I don't know, considered yourself a modern woman, a Cosmo woman, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily the domestic diva.
Uh-huh.
But things changed as you got older and you started, spending that kind of time baking pies from scratch.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, you know, we modern women think that if we stay home or if we bake or whatever, we're not true to, you know, the cause of women. But baking just gives me such joy. It just recreates my childhood. I think cooking for other people is one of the most intimate acts that you can do. And it just gives me joy to put, you know, love and a bit of myself into something as opposed to just going out and buying it already prepared, even though I do lots of that.
we'll welcome questions from listeners and your observations about homemade pie. Do you have a favorite homemade pie? What made it so special? Do you bake your own pies? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. We are talking with Patty Pinner. She is author of the new book, Sweetie Pies, an uncommon collection of womanish observations with pie. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, October the 8th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. Ben will be talking about current issues of the day. And after 3 on Here on Earth, Radio Without Borders, Gene Faraca sorts through the ongoing controversy surrounding the discovery of the Americas by explorer Christopher Columbus. It is Columbus Day, after all, and the controversy over that coming up after 3 o'clock. We're talking this hour about pies with the author of the new book, Sweetie Pies, Patty Pinner, and we welcome your questions for her, your memories of pies that maybe your mom or grandma used to make. Maybe you make pies yourself. Do you have a favorite pie? What is it and why? And what makes a homemade pie so special? Do you still go through that effort? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking about this subject in part because this wonderful new book is out, but also in part because this is pie making season in a way. Maybe our guest will say every season is pie making season, but seems to me in the fall time there are so many pies to make: apple pies and pumpkin pies and pecan pies. And Patty Pinner, is this a pie making season? Do you think, or is any day a good day to make a pie?
Well, I'll tell you this, Joy. Pies are my absolute favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Dessert to make, and but you're right. I think as the weather cools or chills, there's nothing, you know, that warms the heart and the home better than a good pie.
Yeah, and we will. You gave us permission to post the apple pie recipe on our website, so we will do that instead of maybe go through all. It's kind of hard to go through it on the radio, so we will share with our listeners the apple pie recipe on our website, wpr.org, after the program. And we're getting lots of people who are calling in, but let me ask you before we go to the phones. Mm-hmm. This one is more up my alley. I think I could do this one tonight even. Coral's Blueberry Peach Cobbler.
Uh-huh.
That is one where Coral was someone who would go to the grocery store in her high heels and leopard print dresses.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm like Coral, but I am certainly. She would buy a lot of maybe pre-made packaged ingredients that would help her make her pies.
Yeah. Mm. And for those of us who'd spent all day, you know, trying to prepare something or, you know, everything from scratch, her things, I think, based on how she was dressed, really, you know, won a lot of attention.
Yeah, it's a semi-homemade pie where she buys a can of peaches and has a blueberry muffin mix and puts together a pretty good blueberry peach cobbler,
yes,
served with some ice cream, right?
Yes.
Peggy in Tigerton is with us first. Hi, Peggy. You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to tell about my mom's absolutely fabulous pies. She grew up in an orphanage, and I don't think there was a lot of fancy cooking, so food to her was really, really, really part of family. And, of course, we are the lucky ones that mm-hmm. we grew up with her good cooking. Her pies, though, I think apple pies were probably her main pie also, and she could never make one. There was never one apple pie sitting on the counter. There were three or four, and they were big, big apple pies.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, I know. It was so good. And I've always tried to make that pie crust that she just, it was the flakiest, most flavorful, most wonderful pie crust. And so I struggled and struggled and struggled over years, actually. And I got really pretty good pie crust, but I knew they weren't like Mom's. And then I figured it out. Do you know what the secret is?
What?
What?
Lard.
Lard,
the
really?
No.
Yeah. Do you put lard in your pie crusts, Patty?
No, I don't. In the markets around my, you know, where I live, I don't see a lot of lard anymore, but I know that a lot of pie experts say that they make the flakiest crust, and my grandmother used lard.
Yeah, so what do you use instead, just butter?
I use butter, mm-hmm. or sometimes, well, I have several pie crusts that I like. The one that's in the book calls for vegetable shortening, and I use about 3 tablespoons of heavy cream.
Yeah. And Peggy, what about you?
Well, I do also use vegetable shortening with butter
mm-hmm.
and a little sugar, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I found that's kind of a nice touch, too. It makes the crust brown nicely. And the other thing I do if I need a shortcut is I do have mixes in my cupboard, the dry mix.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cut in a little butter with that dry mix, it's not too bad.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Cheater crust, we call it. Yeah.
And what you said your mom did apple pies. Did she have, besides the pie crust and lard, a secret to her apple pie?
Well, I think she just heaped it in there, lots
yeah.
of filling,
yeah.
and it was always tart sweet, not heavily sweet. And my favorite apple pie actually is cranberry apple pie.
Oh, that does sound good.
This time of year is perfect, and you get a rosy juice, and it's just wonderful. If your apples are kind of sweet, it really does put a tang in it.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Peggy.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound good, Patty?
Oh, it sounds wonderful. And I wanted to say, Joy, that I think a lot of times, you know, this homemade versus store-bought controversy, I guess, makes some women feel bad when they resort to buying homemade packages, you know, or prepackaged stuff. But things are getting so good now that, you know, the prepackaged foods, and I won't hesitate to do that.
Yeah,
you know the tip that she gave about adding that to the packaged crust.
I rarely do bake my own pies, but from time to time I've tried, and it was the crust itself. I would actually buy the already made
mm-hmm.
crust, but is that as good as the homemade?
Oh, you know what? I made I guess it was last Sunday. I did a peach cobbler. Just kind of a quick spur-of-the-moment thing, and I did use the packaged roll-out crust,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm. Your mother used to tell you, you know when you've got a good pie because your crust will be crisp and golden and your
mm-hmm.
filling won't be undercooked or overcooked. It will be set just right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in those days, women's glory was kind of based in not only, you know, how they looked or whatever, but in how they cooked as well. And so for my mother and grandmother and aunts, most things had to be from scratch.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was part of a good crust. I mean, if you could make a good crust, you were a good woman, you know.
Yeah. Well, Karen in Highland joins us. And Karen, I understand you're making pies right now.
At this minute, I have my hands in pumpkin pie. And I was just going to say that I think there's a, and I love the idea of this whole book, but I think there's a mystique about how hard it is.
Yeah.
My kids start making pies when they're tall enough to stand up on a chair. So from the very, very second, you're chopping butter and flour, and you know that a pie crust can be made that's incredible with flour, butter, and water.
Mm-hmm.
And you can mix the flour and the butter up like any old time, and you can add the water later, or you can... I do a thing where I just make like six pie crust a batch that'll handle five or four or six or whatever, and I wrap them up in saran wrap, and I stick them in the freezer. So you can take a pie crust out in a second.
Mm.
You put it on a piece of parchment paper, use ideally a marble rolling pin, but, I mean, a glass will work for a rolling pin, just any old thing, your hands. And the parchment paper keeps your counter clean, and you can get a crust in the oven in, like, minutes.
That's smart,
and
Karen.
And crusts are a big deal. And I just cooked up some pumpkin, so I'm going to, when I'm done talking to you, stir it up in the blender, pumpkin with some milk and some sugar and a couple eggs, and that'll be a pumpkin pie.
I think most of us are so intimidated by the art of making, or we know how important the crust is to the pie until it intimidates us, and we make it out to be much harder than it is.
That's what I'm thinking is the truth, is that people don't understand that it's, you can make it with cold water, you can make it with hot water, you can make, you know, and all homemade crust tastes better. You can make it with whole wheat flour, you can, you know, anything, all kinds of weird flours.
And Karen, you're doing something, you've got the whole pumpkin there, and you're not buying the can of pumpkin pie mix.
No, and I'll feed the scraps to my miniature donkeys, and people know it. I mean, people call me. I have a great tree, but it's Max, so they're almost all soggy by now, and people call me and say, hey, you know my tree? Somebody just sent me 50 pounds of apples for my donkeys the other day, because they know I'll make a pie, and then I'll feed the donkeys the leftover centers and stuff.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for taking the mystique, maybe, out of it for some of us. Let's see if we have, you know what, I don't think I, maybe Richard in Green Bay, we can get to his thought, and we'll get a response after the news. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I know you're doing seasonal stuff. It sounds like more like pumpkin pie and apple.
Any kind of pie will do.
Oh, I just love a homemade strawberry rhubarb pie.
Ooh, a springtime pie, huh?
Oh, springtime. That is one of the best, especially if it's made from scratch.
Oh, that sounds good.
Using lard for everything, you know, and regular butter and everything else. I think it's one of the best pies that's ever made. And I was wondering whether or not you had a recipe in your book for that, and whether or not you could put that on the website, because I collect recipes.
Oh, I didn't see a strawberry rhubarb, but was there one, Patty?
There's a rhubarb pie in there, but not strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can just throw some strawberries in there.
I have a strawberry hand pie in there, but no rhubarb. There.
Well, we'll check news, and then we'll talk more about pies with Patty Pinner, author of the book Sweetie Pies, coming up after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Monday, October the 8th. Good to be back from vacation, and good to be talking with Patty Pinner, who is author of the new book, Sweetie Pies, an uncommon collection of womanish observations with pie. It's not merely a cookbook, though there are 70-some pie recipes in this book, but it's a memoir, and it tells the story of the women in Patty Pinner's life behind each of the pie recipes, and certainly some of their observations and wisdom that they pass down. We're talking about many of the pies in the book. We're talking about some of the seasonal pies that you might be making right now, like apple pie. We will be posting a recipe that's in the book on our website for apple pie from the book. You can check there later, wpr.org. And we are taking your questions and your memories about pies, talking about your favorite pies, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We heard from Richard in Green Bay just before the news, who says that his favorite pie of all time is the strawberry rhubarb pie. And quickly flipping through the book, I didn't see one, but I found one in the book, Mama's Deep Dish Strawberry Rhubarb Pie, which Patty Pinner writes, "My mother loved to bake at night. When I was a little girl, I would sit with her in the kitchen or on the back porch steps while her food was cooking in the oven, and she would tell stories. Mama was a great storyteller. Most of her stories were about other women, happy women, sad women, affluent women, poor women, smart women, and foolish women, black and white. What I remember most about my mother's stories were the punchlines, the little golden nuggets of female truth summarized in a single sentence or word. All of Mama's stories had them. Some of the punchlines from her stories stand out in my mind more than the others, like sweet talk can't buy rice, and what you don't see with your eyes, don't invent with your heart. In my family, girly advice gets passed from generation to generation, from woman to woman, just like recipes. Womanish talk is an essential part of being a woman, of becoming a woman. In fact, my mother used to say, I pity the girl whose mother isn't teaching her anything womanish about that life. That kind of girl grows up to be a foolish woman, and we all know that a foolish woman brings the worst behavior in a man." And it goes on. We will post at Richard's request the recipe for the strawberry rhubarb pie on our website, wpr.org. Patty Pinner is an employee of the U.S. Postal Service, and she also used to work at her family's restaurant in Saginaw, Michigan. She is the author of the acclaimed book Sweets, A Collection of Soul Food Desserts and Memories, and the new book Sweetie Pies, An Uncommon Collection of Womanish Observation with Pie. And back to the phones we go. Karen in Chaseburg is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for talking about pies, one of my favorite things. My memory, I have to echo what the author has mentioned, and that's the intimacy of cooking, which I didn't realize until I got older and had a family of my own, that that's my connection with my children. They call me up the most often when they want to make something. And my memory of my mom is her wonderful baking and her pies. So I wanted to share with you my favorite pie, which was black bottom pie. And I thought it was a terrible task to have to sit there and stir that jello, because my mom's crusts were the best. But this combination of once that pie crust was cooled, you poured dark chocolate into the bottom. And then you combined lemon jello after the jello had... You'd cooked your jello, then you poured the jello on top and set it in the fridge to cool. And then on top, it got the lemon meringue topping. And the combination of those tastes is unbelievable, because I'm a chocoholic, I guess. And when she came this summer to visit, she wanted to make me a cake for my birthday, and I said, absolutely not. I want the lemon, the black bottom pie.
Oh, yum.
Sounds good.
It was delicious. But thank her. I appreciate this book, because I'm really going to look forward to trying some recipes, and I've never been able to duplicate my mom's crust, but she's of German descent, and she loves using butter. I mean, I know that it's butter that's the key ingredient in all her baking.
Yeah.
And so,
but Karen, before we go, the black bottom pie, you said that has jello in it.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so...
Yeah.
But it's mainly a chocolate flavor of the filling.
The combination of the lemon with the chocolate is amazing. Yes,
yum.
That's what
sounds
makes
good.
It so good. Very, very good. And so, I just never realized how important that is. Walking into a home that has had baked goods going on, and it really makes a wonderful memory. And I hope a lot of people try, if they haven't really gotten into baking, I hope they will try it.
Thank you so much, Karen, for the call. And that does
sound
very
delicious.
Good. Anything similar to that, a chocolate or anything like that in sweetie pies?
Well, I've got a chocolate nut pie in there, but nothing with the Jell-O. That sounds delicious.
You had there's a pumpkin pie recipe in this book that I glanced at because of the season, but it was interesting. I guess I'd never saw, it was a pumpkin pie with meringue on top.
Yeah, I love meringues on pies, but there is I'm trying to turn. I've got my book here. I'm turning through the book real quick, trying to find.
Yeah, I guess. A meringue is really good, but I guess I just never had a pumpkin pie with meringue on it. Dr. Fred in Madison is with us. Hi, Dr. Fred.
Well, good morning. I want to point out the power of pies. The power.
Mm-hmm.
35 years, I was medical director at Sauk County Healthcare Center.
Mm-hmm.
We had a magnificent, magnificent administrator, Don Erickson. He called a pie fest on some Sunday. And you won't believe it, all the volunteers, and there were more than 100, brought a delicious homemade pie. And we ate and we ate and we ate. We had pies and pies coming out of the nose, etc. And I want to know, after 10 years, I still have this very vivid memory of this wonderful, caring, compassionate administrator, caring for volunteers who make all of these pies and take them to patients in nursing homes.
What a lovely thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Fred. Wasn't the power of pies?
And
we now have the doctor's permission to eat pie until it comes out of our nose. Thank you so much. You tell the story of someone. I think she works at the Postal Service with you. Maybe I'm mistaken about that, but she's sort of a high powered administrator, but she would bring her homemade pies to work and serve them during conference meetings and that sort of thing.
Actually, it's our postmaster.
Uh huh.
And she does that, and it was just such a wonderful thing. You know, it still is a wonderful thing to pass by her office and when the doors open and to see her in these high-powered meetings. And she's got her little hat on, and sitting on the conference table, there's a home-baked pie.
That's great.
And, yeah.
Skip in Milton is with us. Hi, Skip. You're on the air.
Good morning. Great show. Mm-hmm. I have a number of favorite pies, but I have to start out with, well, if I'm only going to name one, it will be my grandmother's ground cherry pie.
Ooh.
And she used lard for her crust, but the ground cherries, they're not common. I mean, you don't see that in a restaurant, or most people, you say ground cherries, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
But well, they're a plant that comes up. They seed themselves. They're like a little tomato, but with a husk over them. When they ripen, they fall to the ground, hence ground cherries. They grow above the ground. When they're ripe, you pick them up off the ground, but you just pop them right out of the papery-type husk, so you don't have to wash them or anything, and there they are.
Do they taste like cherries?
No, they don't. They're closer related to a tomato, but they... it's got just a wonderful flavor. I guess it's.
Yeah, I've seen some. Yeah, I've seen something at the farmer's market that has a little husk on it, and I think that might be what you're talking about. I've never tasted it though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but then going from years ago to my grandmother's ground cherry pie, a woman at work brought in a tomato pie. The first time I ever had a tomato pie last week, and it was wonderful.
Wow.
Green tomato pie.
Interesting.
So I don't have the recipe from her yet, but I will be getting it because it was so good. And I always have tomatoes in the garden. So,
thank you very much, Skip, for that. I mean, you can make pies out of just about anything, can't you, Patty?
Yeah. I've not had the green tomato pie, but I've heard about it and heard it's really good.
Yeah, we'll talk about some. You have some other uncommon or unusual pie recipes in the book that we'll talk a little bit more about after we check the weather. We're talking about pies with Patty Pinner, who is author of the new book. It's part memoir, part cookbook, called Sweetie Pies, an uncommon collection of womanish observations with pie. 70-some pie recipes and stories from the women who baked these pies. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite pie? Maybe a favorite pie because of the memories that it holds for you? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 8th. Coming up after 7, it's Monday, so that means it's time for our State Capitol Report. We will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter Sean Johnson to give us the very latest on the delayed, much delayed, state budget. And we will hear from a couple of different lawmakers who are floating ideas on ways to make sure that this never happens again, that we don't have a budget that is more than 3 months late. Some of the proposals include punishing lawmakers through docking pay and even arresting them if the budget isn't done on time. We'll wonder what you think about that coming up after 7 o'clock during our State Capitol Report. Right now, we wonder what you think about pies. What's your favorite pie? Do you have a special memory associated with that pie? Do you make your own pies from scratch? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our lines have been busy for much of the hour, but right now an open line for you. Maybe you have a question about making pies that you'd like to pose to our guest. She makes a lot of them, and she also writes about them in her book, Sweetie Pies, an uncommon collection of womanish observations with pie, Patty Pinner. And our next caller is Mark in Green Bay. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. The one that I've done is was called an apple rhubarb pie. Instead of using the regular full amount of apples, you just cut it in half and use half apples and half rhubarb for your pie filling mixed together.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, sounds good, too.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Mark. And what kind of apples?
I usually prefer something like the Macintosh.
Yeah. Well, I picked a bunch of apples. I don't think I got any Macs, though, while I was out picking apples this weekend. But I'm going to try using Golden Delicious, since I got a number of those. And I'm going to use the Golden Delicious in the Pink Lady apple pie. Is that all right, Patty Pinner?
That's fine. Yeah. I was just asking for a higher standard there.
Yeah, that was the little tidbit there. Yeah. So, yeah, and we will be posting the Pink Lady apple pie recipe on the website, as well as the strawberry rhubarb pie. Mm-hmm. On the website. There are a number of interesting pies here that, I mean, I guess I'm not a pie connoisseur, but I didn't realize you can make, you had a lot of cereal pies in here, which I thought were interesting.
Yeah.
Like everything from a cream of wheat to cornflakes to, mm-hmm. to granola to grape nuts. I mean,
yeah.
Interesting stuff. The oatmeal nut pie sounds particularly good.
Well, actually, that is my favorite pie. I do that, and I do that around this time of year. Mm-hmm. I have to think of it, but there I have another oatmeal pie, just plain oatmeal, and that's one of my favorites as well. And it what they do, the oatmeal rises to the top and kind of forms that pecan-like crust or mm-hmm. filling. I'm sorry, and puts you in the mind of a pecan pie.
Yeah, that does sound really good. Here's another interesting one. Miss Anna Dugan's grape juice meringue pie. Never heard of such a thing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful pie. It uses the, I prefer Welch's grape juice, mm-hmm. but uses the frozen grape juice. And such a delicious, delicious pie.
And that's the, so it just, it's sort of a grape filling that's sort of, I don't know, jello-like?
Gels,
yeah.
And really good pie. Mm-hmm. Anybody who likes grape, this is the pie for you, the flavor of grape juice.
And grape. It's healthy for you with all those, whatever they are, flavonoids in the grape juice, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bob in Brookfield joins us now. Hi, Bob, you're on the air.
Hello. I just heard about a different black bottom pie, and I wanted to tell you about my favorite black bottom pie, only made on my birthday. It's the Black Bottom Pie from the Betty Crocker Cookbook. It's a chocolate bottom, custard in the center, and whipped cream on the top with chocolate little shavings or chocolate chips on the top of that. And
well, that again, sounds so. There's actual the bottom is actual chocolate.
It's melted chocolate chips.
Ooh.
But this pie, I know the recipe came from the Betty Crocker Cookbook.
All right.
It was made by my mother for many, many years, and my mother was a fantastic baker from Superior, Wisconsin.
Well, thank you, Bob, for sharing that, and people can check out the Betty Crocker Cookbook for that. But you don't have a black bottom pie, but you do have some really, there was a chocolate chip pecan pie in here that sounded really good, too.
Yeah, oh, that's delicious. My girlfriend, Sherry, that comes from her.
Mm-hmm. Lots of berry pies, and here's one that I guess I never thought of using pineapple in a pie, Aunt Helen's pineapple pie.
Well, I tell you, the signature pies in my family, you know, for gatherings and church socials and that sort of thing, we had two, and the pineapple pie was one. And, you know, I don't know if it was jargon from the South or whatever, but an egg pie is what they called it. It's just the custard pie. But the pineapple pie, it is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And very appropriate for this time of year as well.
Yeah, and I just opened up an old-fashioned apple meringue pie. So here's an apple pie with meringue. Lots of meringue on your pies, too.
Yeah, it's surprising because you can put meringue on almost any pie that you bake, and a lot of people don't do that or know that, but the apple meringue pie, that was my grandmother's pie.
Yeah. Well, my one experience with trying to make, well, it's not my only experience, but one experience I had with meringue, this was in home economics class in seventh grade. I made a baked Alaska and put the meringue on top of it, but I guess I didn't seal it properly, and you can guess what happened.
Strong.
Well, the meringue didn't seal, and the ice cream that was in the cake melted. So, Joanne in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. When I was a kid, my mother used to get baskets of Concord grapes, and we would sit and slip the skins off the grapes. She used to cook the centers and send them through some kind of a mill to get the seeds out. Then this was all cooked down. That was the thickening. It was with sugar and with flour, I believe. And then it would be combined back with the clean skins, and then it would be baked. And we had always loved blueberry pie, but this took it to another level. The color was gorgeous. The flavor was unbelievable, and I have no idea where the recipe is.
Wow. Well, you can use grape juice, Joanne, instead.
No, it's not the same.
I guess the texture makes it different.
It was really unusual, and I still remember it, and I would love to get the recipe somewhere and make it again because it was just delicious. My husband, the first time he tasted it, my mother was still alive, she made it, and he had never heard of it, and a lot of people hadn't, and he was just knocked out, this was a great pie.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joanne, if anyone calls in and knows where to find that recipe, maybe if they call in, we'll post either the recipe or where you can find the recipe on our website. How's that sound?
That would be wonderful.
All right. Thanks a lot. And next we go to Gail in Grafton. Hi, Gail. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have called in because this whole recipe program reminds me of when I was a little girl and I would go through my mother's recipes, and one of the cards was a poem from my father that he had written when they were first married, in the mid-30s, maybe 36, 37. He apparently had found a pie that my mother had made and was letting it cool up in the attic and ate the whole thing. It was his favorite lemon meringue pie.
It was my dad's favorite, too.
And then he wrote a poem. It was entitled, "To a Dear Little Wife Who Baked a Pie." It said something about, you know, finding the pie nestled amongst some things, and he was tempted, and he ate the whole thing and left this nice, clean pie plate with the poem, which I wish I had.
Oh, so you—that's very sweet. You don't have the poem right now. You can't find it.
I don't. When my mom died, a lot of that stuff was missing.
Yeah. That sort of equates the pies equal love, don't they, Patty mm-hmm. Pinner?
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Very definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Gail. Did you by any chance see the movie Waitress, Patty? It was about a waitress who made pies.
Was that the movie where her pies were magical?
Well, I don't know how magical they were. I don't think they were magical, but she did have a pie for every occasion, and it was sort of, it's similar to me. It reminded me of your book. That's
well,
what.
I'll have to look it up then.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We have one last caller I think we can fit in. Jerry and Racine, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing? I love to listen to your show every day. Just got to a phone, so I'm glad I made it on.
Well, I am too.
I was just calling to let everyone know I just made my first pie about a month ago.
Congratulations.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun.
What'd you make?
I made an apple because I figured it would be easy, and it was my favorite growing up that my mom always made. And then my girlfriend and I just made one like a week or two ago.
Super.
We just attempted one. And basically, as soon as I made it, I put pictures of it all on my blog site online. Pictures of me making it, pictures of me getting masked, pictures of smoke pouring out of the oven because of the dripping on the bottom of the pan.
Jerry, thank you so much for calling. If Jerry can make his first pie from scratch, I think I can too. Thank you so much, Patty Pinner. We're out of time. We really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Yeah, Patty Pinner, author of Sweetie Pies. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and Karen Prager for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.